2 Corinthians chapter 4, and continuing from last week, I wanted to finish up here. Why do men reject the truth? And we saw several factors as we tried and attempted to answer that biblically, but literally that men, I believe personally, first and foremost, they reject the truth because of pride and vanity, and they don't want to hear the truth. They don't care for the truth. They believe that they're okay. We also looked at apathy. Apathy kills most Americans spiritually and every other thing and every other way. And they just don't want to work at it. They don't want to work at their marriage. They don't want to work at raising kids. They don't want to deal with problems and other things. And you're thinking about it. But these are the things, other things we looked at, instability and superstition. People have their own beliefs, don't they, of what the Bible says and what other things are in this world. They believe a certain way, and they want to stick to that way, and they'll find out very soon, as we read in Proverbs 16, that the way seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. This morning as we continue, I believe another factor is spiritual blindness. Now notice 2 Corinthians 4. Paul begins and he starts and says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not. The ministry, as you know, is of reconciliation, of reaching people with the gospel. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Notice verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I believe also spiritual blindness. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them, notice, which believe not. Every man and individual and woman, child, is given an opportunity to believe and receive the gospel. We know that. But when they reject that gospel, they believe not. Notice they choose to believe not. The Bible is clear that the God of this world, lowercase G-O-D, Satan himself, has come and blinded their minds. And you've wondered about this before, I'm sure, as well. But that how can men reject the blatant, clear truth of Scripture, the evidence that's proven, all of that? How can they do that? Well, they're spiritually blind. And sometimes we wonder about that. Don't get shocked when you're around unsaved people and they don't believe and they talk bad about the Word of God and use God's name in vain and are foul and all those things. Why? They're spiritually blind. Listen to John 8:43 as Jesus explains the same thing. He says, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? You say, well, that doesn't really make sense. He says, you can't understand what I'm saying because you can't hear my word. You don't have the spiritual ability to understand, and if you will decipher what I'm saying, you can't receive it. And in part, in the context of what he's saying there, you've rejected me. You've rejected the truth. And anytime you reject the truth, you reject Jesus Christ, you are not only spiritually dead, we know Ephesians 2, but you do not have the ability, again, to understand some things. Now we look at this, he continues, he says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye'll do. By the way, the biggest thing that keeps men out of this book and from receiving the truth is lust, isn't it? It's a pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. Notice that. He chose to get away from the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Jesus would later say to the people that are following him, and as he's rebuking some of the Pharisees and others, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We follow Christ. We know that. We know his voice. We know what he's doing. We understand the Holy Spirit's at work in and with around us. So again, spiritual blindness in this world around us. Again, this world is constantly trying to put a shadow or a shade over us and our minds from receiving the truth and from receiving the gospel, from receiving the word of God. Entertainment, pleasure, money, all of these things, right, are put on our plate and it blinds us. Why would I want to run to the scriptures and spend time in prayer and spend time with the Holy Father? Lord Jesus Christ when I can go ... right? I can go have fun. I can go do this or that. I can go enjoy myself there and this. You and I know that. There's spiritual blindness all around us. We know Romans 3, and he says again, as it is written, there's none righteous, there's no, not one. There's none that understandeth. Notice, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none seeking for God. Nobody is seeking for the Lord. And we understand and know this world around us. Spiritual blindness. Paul says we have a ministry to reach people. And he says we'll keep doing that. We'll do it with honesty, with holiness, with pureness. Why? Again, he'll later say, or he earlier said, I don't want to go and run a race and then be a castaway because people don't believe me because of my lifestyle doesn't fit that. Something to be said about lifestyle evangelism. A lot of people knock that term, and we don't particularly abide by that only, but it's a good philosophy. Lifestyle evangelism, living the word so that people can see a difference. But notice, none are seeking God. Then he says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And there is an individual, a force in this world seeking to damn men's souls. And you notice there's darkness and light. We got to be searching for that. You know that. Let me hurry here in the first point. 1 Corinthians, he continues, chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. The natural man can't understand that. The natural man doesn't know why you come to church so much and why you read your Bibles and why you study the Scriptures and why you pray and seek the Lord and what's the big deal if I do this sin or that sin. Why does that matter? They don't understand that. They have not the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 3:7, he says, they will in the end times ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're learning and searching. I know people that search and read this Bible. I've heard Muslims, they know more of this book than we do, the Bible, don't they? But what's wrong? They don't have the Spirit. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You and I need to be praying for the Spirit of God. In our lives, number one, you know. But seeking people, they're spiritually blind. Have many verses here. He says in Matthew 15, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father planted shall be rooted up. Talking about the word, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. Right? Can you see? No, I can't either. Well, show me the way. That's not a good setup. They're going to fall. Both fall. And today that's what's happening. Problems come and they go, I have a remedy. Follow me. You have a problem here. You have an emotional problem. You have a marital problem. You have kids. You have all kinds of issues. Follow it. We'll show you the way to go. They're blind leaders of the blind. They're both falling into the ditch, if you will. And so we see here, there's spiritual blindness. Let me say, there's sin and iniquity. Isaiah 59, I won't read all of it, but it's lengthy in describing the sin of the people. Let me read a portion of it here. In Isaiah 59, as he describes some of this, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy. It cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. He goes on to talk about how God withheld good things from them and other things. But just the sin and iniquity abounding in this world, spiritually blind. And again, why would you want Jesus Christ when you have the pleasure? Why would you want that? Why would you want all that God has when you have all the money in the world and all the stuff? And I'm so thankful for there's been several very wealthy people, celebrities and others, that have actually come to the truth and made a stand for Christ. And not maybe to the degree we would like, but they've made a stand for Christ and said, I've had it all. I've had the house. I got 4 houses. I've got 86 cars. I've had everything you can imagine and everybody you can imagine. And it brought nothing into my life but misery, misery. And you think about it. As we said last week, Proverbs describes, I believe 21, He describes it pleasure. He that loves pleasure shall not be rich. So secondly, as we've seen this, men are spiritually blind. Sin and iniquity have hid and blinded them as well. But I wanted to bring a second question here. Why do regenerate men reject the truth? You ever thought about that? You think, well, they've received the truth and they're saved. Yeah, they are saved. They've received the truth. But then they live their lives like they reject the truth. We all know somebody like that. We maybe have lived that way before. We know and understand that we as individuals have to be very careful and cautious about that. That we can, by our life, by our the way we live, show men that we're rejecting the truth, if you will. Now, again, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul emphasizes and says, we have, but have renounced, talking about we, saved people, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, that's deceit, that's lying, that's giving a false image to people, nor handling the word of God deceitfully to fit our own ideology, our own ways, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So clearly he says, if you're going to show men that you believe the truth, that there is a truth out there, you have to yourself live in a manner that shows the truth. But why do regenerate men reject the truth? Several things. First of all, I think of Solomon. Solomon in 1 Kings 11, verse 4 says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. There's that word again. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father when he was old. He lived an entire lifetime, and he rejected in the end the way of the Lord. And he caused, as you know, a horrific time. When Solomon died, the kingdom basically split in two. And from that point on, it was just craziness, wasn't it? It was a mess. But you think about it. Solomon didn't lose his salvation. He still knew the Lord, obviously. The Lord loved him as his own son. We know that. But he turned, notice, away his heart unto other gods. His heart was not perfect. Later, his son would come, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was a foul person. He was ungodly. He was perverted. All those things. Where did he get all that from? Watching daddy, didn't he? Watched him. Oh, I thought you weren't supposed to. Oh, okay, he's doing that. He's doing that. Oh, okay. What a challenge as we prayed this morning for our two little babies, thinking about. And what a responsibility, right? They watch everything we do, and they know our schedule, and they know what we're going to say next, usually, don't they? They're just waiting for us to say it or do it. What a responsibility. But think about it. He rejected the truth. Why? He allowed people around him that he shouldn't. Can I encourage you with that? It's better to have no friends, right, than have the wrong friends. And we're trying to encourage our kids with that, you know. Be careful about it. I'm so thankful for our church and the kids here. But, you know, growing up, if you were like me, it's like, okay, got to have this friend, got to have that friend. And I tell you right now, those friends turned me to sinful things and helped me. It wasn't their fault, it was mine, but helped me in that. And you think about it, we need to be careful who we allow into our inner circle in who we have. Hebrews 5, verse 11. In Hebrews 5, the author there says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He says, I wanted to say things to you and give you some doctrine and encouragement, but you can't understand it. You're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He says, I have to bring back and remind you of the basic things, and I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he's describing an immature individual and church. He says, I came to write to write to you. Jude, you know, says the same thing. I wanted to come and give you, write unto you and talk to you, but I had to come and write of the common salvation, come back to the beginning and thinking through that. So they reject the truth. Because of, first of all, the people that came into this man's life, Solomon. Secondly, because of turning from and being immature, not spending the proper amount of time and effort into the Word of God. Luke 24, 25, It says, Jesus, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He rebuked these individuals, didn't he? The road to Emmaus, these men were walking, he rebukes them. You should have known these things. You don't know any of this? They say, no. We thought he was going to be our great prophet, Messiah, and take over and rule the world. But they crucified him and buried him, and he's dead, he's gone. And he says, I'm standing before you, you fools, right here. And you think about why. They knew not the scripture. Why do regenerate, saved men and women reject the truth and not live for Christ? They don't know the scriptures. They don't know the Bible. The more time you spend in this book, the more this book will get into you. And this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's how it goes, isn't it? And we need to get into the Word of God. You know, John 14:8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath what? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Again, Philip, unwise in that regard, immature, not knowing, not discerning, as he said in Hebrews 5. You don't have the ability to discern. And what gives us the ability to discern? Again, we know Hebrews 4, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will give us the discernment that we need. We go on here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, he says, Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, rebuking the church at Corinth for not getting the gospel out, for not living for God, for not getting those people around them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some have not the knowledge of God. And he says, I speak this to your shame. That is your ministry, as he says here in the second letter. A ministry of reconciliation. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing while we're on this earth. As those apostles stood there in Acts 1 and they saw Jesus Christ ascend up into heaven. And they say, well, what are we supposed to do now? And the angel basically says, get busy, right? Don't stand looking around, stand here doing nothing. Get busy, get going. With what, though? We don't know what to do. They didn't say that, did they? They knew what to do. He had commissioned them. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach them what I taught you. Baptize them. Disciple them. So he says, you need to be busy for the Lord. Why do regenerate men reject the truth? I believe truly because we, as God-fearing people that are right with Him, maybe are not doing what we should be doing at times. 1 Timothy 6. Another area would be why they reject the truth, I believe, is just money and pleasure. He says, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, But godliness and with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be there with content. But they that will be rich, notice the wording, they have a will, a desire to be rich, right? Fall into temptation and a snare, a trap. They're imprisoned. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Notice that. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They've shot themselves in the foot, basically, right? They've erred from the faith. They have erred from the faith. There's a problem. And we see here, it comes back to this. I believe they get sidetracked with pleasures, with money, with popularity, with fame, with other things. And I'm all for these athletes and great big musicians and other people that'll stand up and give praise to Jesus Christ and other things. But in a lot of ways, I believe their priorities are misaligned. And you know, you ask them, well, why don't you give your money to this cause or that cause? And you don't talk about that. You don't touch their money. You don't touch those things. I know many people that are been gifted with a lot of money, and relatively speaking, in this world, and they love the Lord and serve the Lord faithfully, and they don't hoard that money, they don't keep that money. They willing, and if God laid it on their hearts, they'd willingly give the money to whatever He wanted. God has no problem with that, we know that. But thinking about, I believe these men that are unfaithful, that are not right with God, they're blinded with this, with these things. Let me say here just a few more points here. Immaturity and lack of spiritual understanding. Why men reject the truth that are truly, I believe, saved. Psalm 32:8, I'll instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Isn't it sad that we have to be like a mule or a horse sometimes? Bit and bridle. God, come on, Tim. No, I'm sorry. He says, don't be like the horse or the mule. They have no understanding. You ever dealt with a horse or a mule? I know all of you have. They're stubborn. I mean, a mule is one of the strongest animals in the world. They can pull loads, tens of thousands of pounds probably. They are stubborn. And what you got to put a bit. You got to whip them. You got to hit them. You got to get them going. And he says, now, be not like that. Be mature. Don't be one step ahead of the Holy Spirit, if I could say. That's for me, personally. He doesn't have to tell us what to do. He doesn't got to remind me. He doesn't have to always convict me. You shouldn't have done there, said that. Be a step ahead. I already know, Lord, what to do. I know what I should be doing. Thinking about this. I think about lack of spiritual understanding in the life. Why so many, I believe, reject the truth. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Vanity. Proverbs 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You find satisfaction from yourself when you help other people, when you don't, it's not about you and it's not about me, right? He backslider will be filled with his own ways. And the reason we backslide and get away from God is because we have our own ways, our own understanding, as we read and even sang about a little bit ago. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh an intermeddle with all wisdom. Separates himself, prepares himself. So we see that. Many verses here in Proverbs. I'll skip ahead. Jeremiah 4:22, my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. Notice, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Isn't that our world today? Wise to do evil. To do righteousness, they have no knowledge. Well, I don't know how to do that. But to do evil, they know what to do. It's sad. I mean, you think about, I saw something just recently. A 10-year-old boy is already arrested for attempted murder. And, you know, you obviously see the parents weren't involved in other things. What is this kid doing out, 10 years old, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and how did he obtain a gun, and how does he's doing drug deals and other things? You think about that. Wise to do evil, to do good. They have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. And you see here, as we see here, Paul says we have a ministry of reconciliation. We understand that the gospel, if it is hid, it's hid to them that believe not. We preach. Now notice verse 5 as we wrap it up here. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Notice what he says. There are people lost in the darkness that are blinded by this adversary, by the God of this world, and we will not quit. We're not going to quit. Yeah, we're perplexed. Yeah, we've been beaten. I've been stoned several times. I've been beaten. I've been put down. I've actually been killed several times, Paul says. But we don't quit. We're not in despair, right? We keep going. Why? Because there are people in the dark. There are still people blinded. We're working towards that. Let me close out here. In Jeremiah 5:21, he says, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, have no eye that have not eyes and see not, have eyes which see not, and have ears and hear not. For ye fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, and that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things from you, and your sins have withholden good things from you. God says, what am I supposed to do? You refuse and reject me. And we know in the latter time, many will come. Jesus said himself, many will come. I believe millions upon millions of people are going to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's me. And we did all these things in your, remember? And Jesus is going to go, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Why? Because you did it your way. You've refused to follow this way, this book. And that's what he says in Jeremiah. What am I supposed to do when these people blatantly reject me? When they see the rain come, they had nothing to do with that. They know there's a creator God. They know that they live. They have no control. You don't control one heartbeat in your chest, not one. You know there's a creator God that's sustaining life, and you still refuse. And then at the end, people want to go, well, I messed up. Accept me anyways, Lord. He's going to go, I can't do that. I'm a God of justice and righteousness. And so thinking through this, why do men reject the truth? Spiritual blindness. What are we to do? Continue on. Keep going. Paul says we keep going. We don't quit. We go through this. Let me close out with verse 16 here. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Can I encourage you? The only way to renew your heart, your spirit, is through this book, day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says these things that we've been through, not a stubbed toe, not a headache in the morning. He was beaten, whipped, left for dead. He calls them a light affliction. That's a tough guy. Those are light affliction. What? Compared to what? What we're going to get in heaven, what our ministry is, what we're supposed to be doing. It's worth it, he says. It's worth it. Now, there are people that are blinded today, spiritually blind, but we reach them. We go forth. We stand. We keep living for him, not in dishonesty, not in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth. We live and do what we're supposed to do. God will be God and he will do his thing, but we stand for him. There's some men that are regenerate and they will reject the truth. We can tell just by the way they live. God is working in their hearts. We know that. The Holy Spirit is convicting them and he will chasten them if necessary. But our part, we live for him. We show forth the righteousness and truth and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Amen. Well, thinking about that, I hope that encouraged you to keep going. You're going to be around, some of you folks work around people that I can't even imagine. They're unsaved people, but keep living for God, reaching these people. Yes, don't be surprised when they do reject the truth. They're spiritually blind. Paul says, we have a ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we keep on going for him. All right? Amen. Lord, thank you again for time this morning. We can spend in your word. I thank you for many verses that we got to read through this morning and many more here. And I thank you for that. The Word of God is so bountiful and we can just dive into it and never reach the end of it, Lord. We're so thankful for that. But Lord, knowing that there are people, millions, I should say billions upon billions of people that are spiritually blind at this very hour, I pray you'd help us as saved individuals to show them a difference. As Paul said, they don't quit. They keep going. For we know that this life is coming to an end very soon. And help us to focus, as he says in the last verse, on that which is eternal, Lord, not on the things we see, not on the temporal things. We, Lord, love you and thank you again. Help us now. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, and amen.